Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. The greatest love of all is found in him. Thank you that he is our life. Thank you that there is power in his name. And as has just been declared in worship and prophetic declaration, thank you, Lord, for your healing power and your grace ministering to every single person who's listening and in this moment receiving from you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're always good, you're always kind, you're always gracious, you're always forgiving, that you are the God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in love. And thank you that your love was expressed and demonstrated through your Son dying on the cross for us. And today we celebrate that victory, that as Christians we live in the victorious resurrection life of Jesus Christ through the power of his word and spirit. And so as we listen to your voice, Lord, we kind of just come to you this morning and ask that you speak to every single person, that there will be a life-giving word, a word in season for him who is weary. Thank you that you open our ears to hear in the way that we should this morning. And thank you as we give you this time as a set apart time together as your church, that Lord, we are in a moment with you. Your presence is with us and we can hear your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Wonderful to be together again and to worship the Lord together. I realize that in these days it's amazing to have this resource, to be able to have musicians and worshippers where we can join in together in our homes or wherever you are and worship our King. And there is a garment of praise that we are to release continually so that we live in the joy of the Lord. This morning, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. And we're just going to read one verse out of Romans 10. And this morning's really going to be about carrying on, ministering on hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "My sheep," in John 10, "my sheep hear my voice, they recognize it, they know it, and they follow me." It's such a simple declaration of truth that those who belong to him, who are born again, actually have a heart or a spirit, a new person on the inside with ears and eyes, spiritually ears and eyes. You have these ears and eyes through which you hear God. And the Holy Spirit in you enables us to listen so that we can hear his voice and follow him. And last week, I'm just going to refresh with this beginning on verse 17 of Romans 10. Just refresh you. If you're hearing this for the first time, you didn't listen last week. Well, last week was important for this week, so you can catch that later. But never mind, you're able to receive what you need to today. Romans 10, 17. "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say reading, it means hearing. Now, we read the word, we're a people of the word, we must be, otherwise we're going to go off-piste, we'll go wrong. But the word here, hearing by the word of the Lord, is the word rhema. There are two words in Greek. One of them is logos, which is the written, living, powerful, dynamic, all the counsel of God through the scriptures. But this rhema word, which brings faith to us, is actually from hearing God speak personally to you, hearing his voice, responding and following him. Now, I've been thinking really about how important hearing his voice in my life is. Personally, I need to hear his voice every day. It's something that I'm diligent about, I've disciplined myself over, that I actually spend time in the Word of God and in prayer, and I spend time listening. As I read the Word, I'm listening for his voice. And it is so important for my life, but it's also important for everything that I'm called to do in leadership, to help other people, that I'm listening to what God is saying. And I would put it to you that it's the most important thing in your life, because you can't follow Jesus without hearing his voice. And his word brings, when the Spirit gives a word, or the Spirit gives a promise to you, that changes everything. It changes you as a person. You come to faith. And so the secret of faith is hearing God. We can't get faith any other way but by hearing what the Spirit says through the Word of God, the Rhema voice of the Lord. And far too many Christians don't start anything new or look at a particular situation with a word from God. They just act. They just decide this is how it is, so this is what I will do. But I believe that Jesus laid down in his word this process of hearing to follow him, because he's got plans for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. But those plans come from hearing God. You know, the Bible says that we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he's prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So I'm not thinking up by myself what God's plans are. I'm hearing his voice as I go. And I have learned, and if it's a secret I could pass on to anyone who's listening today, or anyone in the church, any leader who's listening this morning, of any sphere in life, the secret of your success is hearing God. And we need to be confident that as a born-again child of God, he has something to say about everything. And we can hear his voice about everything. And so in challenge and in times where I just don't know what to do, and there are many times like that in my life, I honestly, most often, do not know the way forward. But I know someone who knows what to do. He knows the way forward, and he's a good shepherd. And he will lead me on the paths that he's predestined me to walk in. He's got something to say about your unsaved family member. He's got something to say about your children. He's got something to say about their school. He's got something to say about what you're to do with your life. Because Jesus wants to lead us through speaking to us and for us listening. And you know, essentially it's humility to wait and listen until you move, until you do something. Jesus himself lived this lifestyle of getting up, seeking his Father. Early in the morning, he'd go off and pray. It wasn't just to ask things. I'm sure he did ask God, his Father, for things. And that's all part of going to be alone with God. You ask and receive in that secret place. But I believe he was hearing the business for the day. He heard something from his Father that would have been what he needed for that day, to lead him and to guide him through that day. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing, and even the words he spoke, he would speak what the Father was saying to him. And humility is such a trait of a successful Christian life. Because we're not just rushing off with our own ideas of what we think is the right thing to do. We're saying to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to wait and watch at your door, listen to your voice. Because you say those who are listening and responding to your voice are blessed. And that's when all the blessings of God overtake your life. It comes out of diligently hearing the voice of God. And, you know, it's humility to check out what you've heard, particularly if it's a life-altering decision. Christians are not to live in isolation, just them and God. The Lord's plan is for us to be a people together, where there are shepherds, there are people that lead the flock, but also there are more mature, godly people who bring God's kind of affirmation to what God is saying, or big question mark, not sure you're hearing God. And so it's humility to actually say, look, I think I might be hearing something from the Lord. Can I just ask you to pray into it? Not to force you to change and think what I'm doing is right, but so that I hear godly counsel in the middle of what's happening. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit." So God has given us the person who is God, the Holy Spirit, to actually speak, to declare the things that Jesus is saying, so that we can hear the voice of our good shepherd and reveal those things that God has prepared. You haven't even thought of the amazing stuff yet. Isn't that exciting? God's saying, you don't even know how great what I've got ready for you in your future. But I will speak, an ongoing speaking. You know, when Jesus, he quoted when he was being tempted by the enemy to act independently from his Father's voice. And you and I will be tempted to do that. That's part of Satan's strategy, to get us to act independently from the voice of our good shepherd. And Jesus answered in the temptation with this amazing quote from Deuteronomy: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus wasn't going to allow hunger or a demonstration of power make something happen without first hearing. And that word, the preceding word of God, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God," is actually God is speaking. God is speaking. And I'm going to wait until I know that I've heard his voice before I will act in independence of what my Father is saying. And we can't walk by faith without hearing. See, the Christian life isn't just about being a Christian. It's a walk. And we can only walk by faith, not by sight, by hearing continually the preceding, the rhema, the voice of our good shepherd. I was telling someone, I was sharing the testimony of how the amazing people here and the amazing God we have managed to buy a building, this building that actually I'm ministering from, and we will return to with great joy, hopefully in the very near future. But how, I was saying it was an amazing story, because we always knew that God had a building for us. We didn't have all the money by any means. We didn't have that much money. But God spoke to us as a leadership that God planned a place for worship. He planned a place for us so that we could see people come into their inheritance and distribution of the land, to see that God would raise up an exceedingly great army, and that we needed a building to do that. And God spoke to me. Now, sometimes you'll get the witness of the Spirit. And we were walking past this building, and I got this witness of the Spirit. And God spoke in that witness, and I saw an opportunity. I'd walk past this building many a times, but this particular time, it was like the Holy Spirit was witnessing with my spirit something. Like, there's a green light here. This could be a possibility. So we went to prayer as a leadership and sought the Lord. And God gave me a word. Now, this is why, you know, I love the prophetic. I think it's very important we live and hold on to the prophecies that God has spoken over our lives. But can I say, the scripture says prophecies are in part, but the word is perfect. The word of God, the promises of God. And I had a word from scripture from 1 Chronicles 21 where David bought this threshing floor, and it was to be a place where he would offer a sacrifice of worship. Even down to the amount that he paid for this place, this threshing floor. And he paid 600 shekels. Now, when I read that, the Holy Spirit spoke through scripture, and I had a rhema word from God that this was definitely the place that God had called us to possess and to see a people take possession of this land. And by giving me a word, it was like, all that's all I needed. And in that word was even the price to pay for the building. 600 shekels for me was translated into 600,000 pounds. And without having the money in the bank and without anything else but a word from God, we as God's people prayed, sought the Lord, and miraculously have seen God provide for us as his people this amazing resource for the kingdom of heaven. And I honor the sacrifices, the people that have given into this work. But it all started with a word from God, the perfect word. And if you have a promise, a scripture that the Spirit speaks, you hear his promise and you live. We're to be a people who live by promise, not by problems, not by pressure, not by whatever else somebody else is saying. We're to hear him and hear a fresh word of promise. And the word is perfect. And when God speaks, no word returns empty, but it accomplishes what it's been sent to do. And I knew, we knew as a leadership, after we received that word, it will happen just as he said. And so it was. We saw the miraculous provision of God for this amazing building. And so I haven't seen or ear heard, your natural person. You can't get the things of God just with your head or with your natural eyes and looking out at your life and saying, this is it. It comes through the Spirit revealing and declaring to us. And faith comes. And when you have faith, you overcome the world. When you have faith, you see what God has spoken come to pass. Everything God does, he begins with a word. He speaks it, and then we receive it and follow him in it. Whatever it is to do, we follow what we've heard from him, and we will see the results that he promises. We're going to look at Genesis 26 about hearing God this morning. Just use this. For some of you, it might be a familiar passage. Others might be brand new. But the word is always new. He's always got something fresh to say because he's a speaking God. And I believe you're going to hear his voice this morning. It's exciting to be someone who's hearing God. It's exciting to know that you can hear the voice of Almighty God. Jesus came to give us a relationship with God, that we'd be led by the voice, led by the Spirit, so that we're not led by anything else or anyone else. And I believe in these days, if we will hear his voice and follow him in it, we will see God do the miracles he's promised. We'll see the fruitfulness he's spoken of. We'll see people turn around and their lives restored through hearing him in our families and our community. We'll have adventures in God. God has got an adventure for us, guys. It's not supposed to be an ordinary life. It's supposed to be supernatural. But everything starts with hearing his voice. So let's look at Genesis chapter 26. I'm so excited for us. I'm so excited for us as a people. I believe our best days are way ahead of us, and I know it God has prepared good things. We've been under a lot of opposition. There's loads of things that communicate to us our best days are behind us. But oh no, God says, I prepared amazing things for those who love me. And I will reveal them. I'll speak them. And you'll live by the preceding word. So here we go into this story, this moment in Isaac's life. Isaac was the son of promise. Abraham had to believe for this boy to have a son. Because God wanted Abraham to believe for a multitude. And he needed Abraham to have faith that actually was beyond the natural. The whole of the natural realm around Abraham's life spoke, you'll never have this promise. It'll never happen for you. And that's what the enemy does. He sets up circumstances that actually make us discouraged and make us look at life by what we don't have. That's a word for somebody out there today. Looking at life by what you don't have. But God says, if you'll live by what I say, my promise to you, then you will see the fulfillment of the word of God in your life. So Isaac was the son of promise. And because he was inheriting the blessing, the promise given to Abraham, just as we've inherited the same promise in Christ, Abraham's blessing is for us too, because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Abraham had received this promise, and it was for his son to take on, so that God's will to bless him, to bless his descendants, and that his descendants would be a blessing to all nations. So in other words, it wasn't just about him or his family, it was about all people. So Isaac was a son of promise, having a promise from God he knew about. Abraham would have told him. But it says in verse 1, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Okay, so just let's unpack that first verse. There was a famine in the land. Isaac viewed the circumstances and he thought, I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to make a decision here. We can't stay here. There's no food and there's probably been a drought before that. It was a very dry and barren land. And often in our lives when we are in a dry and barren place, it is so much easier to look somewhere else and say, I'm sure I need to move because I know there's something different out there. And so Isaac was making plans for him and his family to move on. And he went to Egypt. His plan was to go down to Egypt. Now, Egypt, biblically speaking, means go close to the world, to get a little bit closer, to rely on the arm of the flesh and not on the arm of God, not on God. And so Isaac wasn't looking to the Lord. He wasn't asking God, what shall I do? He was looking at circumstances and saying, actually, I should go there. And you know, Proverbs tells us, and I've seen it in my own life, we can make plans. You and I are probably, some of us, really good at making plans. You know, I think I'll go and do this. I think I'll decide to do that. And particularly in famine, particularly when things aren't good, we just want out. We just want to up sticks and get out. And Isaac actually got the whole thing planned and said, that's where we're moving towards. So we started to move towards that plan. And there is a way that seems right to a man, Scripture says in Proverbs 14. But in the end, it leads to death. It wasn't going to be good for Isaac. And you know, we have a father who doesn't just communicate in the future, in the present, But he sees the future. Because he's a God who is looking at the future and the plans he's got to prosper us. But for Isaac, his plan was another plan other than the plan of God. And I love verse 2. It says, then the Lord appeared to him and said, God speaks. It is the mercy of God to interrupt our plans. I mean, don't you think that that's a wonderful father that we have? Actually, I need to interrupt your planning. I need to cut in here and speak. And this is what he said. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land at which I tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. So in other words, God doesn't just say, stay. He says, if you stay, I will bless you. And then he goes on, the blessings just keep coming. For to you and your descendants I give these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And I will make your descendants multiply. I'm declaring this over us as a church. I will make, God will do this. Your descendants multiplies the stars of the heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commands and my statutes and my laws. See, Abraham was a man of faith. He's renowned for his faith. As Christians, we're to imitate his faith. But he was a man of faith and obedience. He didn't just believe God for blessing. He knew that the blessing was attached to his obedience. And God spoke to Isaac. And you got to hand it to Isaac. He listened. I have to say, hats off. Because he'd already made plans, but the plans were interrupted. And God said, if you stay, if you dwell in the land which I shall tell you, in other words, not your own choice, God's choice for your life. You see, your promises are attached to the place where God's called you to be. Can I say that again? Your promises are connected to the place God's called you to be. There's a land, there's a place where God's promises will come to pass. Now, hats off to Isaac because he was hearing, and nothing looked good. Like nothing. Famine is something I've been blessed never to live in. But I've lived in famine in my circumstances or my relationships, or I've lived in famine financially. And in those times, or pressure of, I just don't like this, I want out. And the flesh always wants out quick. But the Spirit speaks and says, don't move by pressure. Move because you're hearing my voice. And God actually said to Isaac, this is the place, the promise. The land of promise is here. I'll never forget reading about a revival that happened in South America in a previous generation. Well, not, you know, like probably 60s, the 50s, 60s. And this minister, he was laboring in this particular place. And he just wanted out. He couldn't see the fruit. He didn't see any encouragement. He was sowing and sowing and sowing, and nothing was coming back. And God spoke to him and said, stay, and I'll bless you. And I never forget what he decided to do, because it really impacted me when I was reading this story. He decided, because God said, this is the land I've given you, he decided to buy a burial plot. Now, I know that's a funny comment to make on a Sunday morning, but he decided, right, I'm here for the long haul, and I'm staying because this is my land. It might look not so nice now, but this is the place which God has given me. And I feel a bit like that. I know this is my land. I've had suggestions or opportunities to move, but I'm going nowhere because the promises of God for my life and for the church, what I've received for this great army that God is raising here, it's all connected to this place. This is the land of promise. And God has a land of promise for all of us and a people that we're to dwell amongst. It's to be with a certain group of people like Isaac. He was to be like there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There was this continuity of staying in the place that his father had been given a promise for. And now it was his. God would bless him and multiply him. Right, so he receives this word. And can I say nothing had changed but his faith and his perspective. Faith had come by hearing. He'd heard that God promised to bless him and he would multiply there. So in other words, it was all going to be the right place for him, even if it looked the wrong place. It looked completely wrong, but it was the right place because God said it was right. And then it says, Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land. Now, I always think this is an interesting concept that God promises to bless Isaac. But Isaac had to do something with what he had and begin to put it to work before the blessing was seen. And many times God speaks, I'm going to bless you. But it's doing something with what we have already. Begin to sow. We sow seed through the word, through the scriptures. We sow in prayer. We sow financially. There's another type of sowing that can happen. But he thought, right, if the blessing of God is in this land, I need to work where I am. I need to put to work what I have. And that can mean sometimes just doing good and sowing relationally and making sure that you're in the land, but you're being a blessing to the people around you. However that works out, you and I have something, our gifts, our talents, our resources to put in to the place God's called us. So the word had come, he had faith, now he was living by promise. And so when he sowed in that place, that land, you see, not Egypt, because it wouldn't work there. The blessing of God isn't in Egypt. It's in the land that God has predestined for you to live out your call and your future blessing. It's such a wonderful story, this. Because Isaac was willing to change his thinking and his planning to come into the plan of God. And verse 12, it says, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Now, I would say that's to the max. 100-fold means you get a harvest. And you only get a harvest from what you sow. If you don't put something in, you don't get anything back. Even though you've got a word and a promise for blessing, it's still working with the seed that you have to sow. Personally, when lockdown began, and I knew that this was going to affect the economy, it was going to affect people's jobs, and I knew it was going to affect, naturally speaking, everything in the world. I heard the Lord start sowing in a different way, personally. And I began to sow. Because you see, if you sow in famine, under the blessing of God and in faith, you're going to reap harvest. And there'll always be enough in your future because you're sowing and putting in today. Isaac got blessed. It says the Lord blessed him. And I can imagine the frustration of everybody around him watching him. He's putting his seed to work, and in the same year he gets a crop. Now, where was the water coming from? Nobody else is living in plenty. But Isaac starts to see a flood of heavenly resources come in. And that's faith, that when you act on what God says, you see an abundance. It's like Peter, when Jesus spoke to him personally, launch out into the deep for a catch, he got so much in that one catch, he had to get help to bring it in. And I believe those things that God has prepared for us to walk in are so wonderful, but they're connected to hearing the voice of God, so that you will have faith to even think differently about what you're in. So many of us can have such a negative mindset about where we are and what we're in. We're always planning the great escape. You know, the great escape. Always somewhere else that looks better. There's always somewhere else that's got better opportunities. But the only place for you and for me where we will prosper is in the place God has called us to be, with the people he's called us to be with, and living by a promise for everything. So I'd like to encourage you this morning. Don't live out of pressure, reactionary lives. Don't live by responding to what you're in. Many people have gone astray and gone into nothing because they've just acted on what they wanted to do. And I believe if you were planning something that you haven't heard God about, that this morning, if you're humble enough and will listen, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, speak. Not according to my plans, but I just need to know. What are you saying? Because man shall not live by bread alone. Your future is connected with a fresh word from God. Your fruitfulness is connected with a fresh word from God. And your blessing is connected with a word from your good shepherd. And so this is the joy of a Christian life, a walk of faith. Isaac didn't see anything change, but he got a heart of faith. He got a different view on where he was. And even though there was famine all around, he said, I'm going to put something in to where I am. So, and God will bless you. And so let me encourage you. Come back to hearing. Live by hearing. Lead by hearing. Act by hearing. Work by hearing. Have your relationships set up by God through hearing. I've known God speak in everything, and I'm so blessed with the relationships that God's given me. We partner in the ministry, and that's the blessing of God. He's always got a plan to put you with the right people for his call to see the kingdom come. And I've heard about the closest people in my life. I've heard his voice speak. And that voice has meant, I know this is God. And I know those people will actually walk, we will walk together in the purpose of God. And not just live in isolation or just doing whatever I think. Everything God says works. Everything he says works. So beloved, may you be someone who's known for success in life, to always have an influence in people's lives for the Lord, because you're a hearer of the voice. And check it out. Check out. I also, just to finish with this, whenever I hear something for us as a church or minister the word of God, I will always speak to Pastor Andrea about it. And we will get together with the Lord. And she comes up sometimes with, I don't think you've heard. And we go back to the drawing board. But you see, it takes humility to do that. So that what matters more than anything is not being right. it's hearing. It's not for me to say, oh, you know, I know and you don't. Humility says, just let's check this out. And more often than not, we'll come together on the same word. But my goodness me, we need to walk humbly before our God and in the context of other relationships. But the joy is, if we follow him from hearing, we will see the life, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Praise God. I trust you've been greatly encouraged by the word, even corrected by the word this morning, or even inspired by the word, that hearing God is an essential, the most important part of your life. And if you've forsaken the daily reading of the word, getting time with God on your own in prayer, listening to the Lord through his word and spirit, then can I encourage you, let's go back and keep those things that matter most in life. Matters more to me hearing him than anything else. And God bless you. Have an amazing week hearing his voice and following him.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.